Okay, so Parmi here again this evening. I'm sitting on the sofa with Kamala Sheila.
Kamala Sheila, yep.
Kamala Sheila has been in the college for...
Oh, goodness.
Well, you've been a public preceptor for ages.
Oh, God, I don't know how long it's been, though. How long have we had public preceptors?
I don't know.
It's been long?
The first ones.
Pretty much.
Something like the late 80s, wasn't it?
Well, I did some public ordinations in the late 80s.
Mm.
In the mid-80s, actually, not in the late 80s. Mm. But I wasn't a public preceptor. Yeah. I did the public ordination.
That's intriguing.
I did the public ordinations on Banto's behalf, which is slightly different thing.
Yeah, it kind of changed, didn't it? Because initially that was the case.
Yeah.
So I think, did you come into the college at the same time as me then, 2004? I think so,
yeah.
I think we were part of that second influx. So
you're
one of the most experienced of the public preceptors and came in at that sort of 2004. So we've been having meetings twice a year or something like that since then. So any reflections on how do you think they've changed, or do you think meetings have changed over that time?
Well, because it's largely been the same people that have been having those meetings, I think we have... We just got to know each other more and more and more. And some of us have worked in teams and worked very closely together over quite long periods of time. And there's been a tremendous process of mutual growth and love, respect, understanding, insight, and adjustment to each other's character. All kinds of things have gone. I think it's a very... It's a real community, you could say.
Yeah, it's certainly my experience. It's very similar.
Very, very sensitive and responsible human beings.
And in terms of this particular meeting, the November 2014 meeting, I think we're just about the halfway point.
Yeah.
Maybe just slightly past the halfway point.
Mm.
So, how are you finding? Are you enjoying the meeting this time? it's a funny question.
I am enjoying it. If I sort of step back and ask myself, what am I getting out of this? I'm very pleased that I'm here.
Mm.
So that's enjoyable. When you're discussing issues in which there's quite a diversity of opinion, and sometimes the opinions are quite strong and you don't necessarily agree with them, it's not exactly a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, it's not painful either. It's just sort of kind of stimulating, and you're learning from it.
Mm.
You're forming your own opinions from it. So I just appreciate it.
My own sort of experience sometimes is that it can get there is a diversity. There are diverse opinions in the college, and and that can sometimes feel a bit, goodness, how are we ever going to agree on anything?
Yeah.
And yet, actually, it seems to me there's always pretty good will.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever fallen out with anybody. If I have, it's been pretty momentary. So in this particular meeting, do you want to say a little bit about what we've been talking about, say, the last couple of days?
Well, particularly, we've been talking about the college itself quite a bit. And that's been very, very interesting. And today, the thing that's most on my mind, because it's most immediate, we've been looking at the results of this whole exercise in direct pointing, this so-called pilot project.
We've had
quite a good look at that and the whole day.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm just wondering if all of our listeners will know what that is. So maybe just give a wee bit of background to that.
Well, how would you explain it? So-called direct pointing is when there's a mentor, some kind of mentor, and there's somebody who is being helped to see into their deepest nature, you could say. And it's in a context of insight. So as a in a context of seeing into one's own impermanence, one's own lack of ultimate selfhood, etc. Mm. So there's a very deep conversation that's going on there with a lot of receptivity on both sides, and one of the parties is being led towards a realization, a deep realization.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. So you mentioned the pilot project. So that's something which Tejananda and others, including yourself,
I had something to do
have been involved in, and the kind of results is a funny word, isn't it, for something like that? But the how would you put it? Results doesn't sound like quite the right word, really, does it?
Well, it's not a final result. It's been quite a complex process.
Yeah.
It has been so rich, I can't really, really do very well explaining.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
But quite a lot of people involved with this mentoring. I think there are about 20 different processes went on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a there were reports on each of those, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I guess what, as members of the college, I guess this Tejananda and others have written up quite a long analysis for that process, which he's passed on to us in the college to get into dialogue about, and to come back and just look at, well, are there concerns that anybody in the college has about the specifics of that, and also the broader question of how something, whether it's direct pointing or any other practice, comes into relationship with the system of training that we follow as outlined by Bantu. Would that be a fair way to put it?
Where does it fit in? Does it fit in? Yeah. A lot of people thought, well, this can't possibly fit into our system of practice because it's quite different from what they used to, I think we've looked at it, and I think on the whole, well, the way I see it, talk more personally, I think that it's been a bit of a challenge, but it's an opportunity for us to respond to a challenge that's saying we need to become not only more experienced in insight practice, but to articulate more what happens when insight arises in people, and to understand the varieties of experience people have, and there is a huge range, actually, of experience.
Yeah. Presumably, there are also other ways of insight arising. So one of the things you said today that I thought made a lot of sense in the big group discussion was when you, I think it was you, possibly Sadaloka, I think you both said something quite similar about bringing direct pointing and any discussion around that as a method into relationship with other ways of insight arising, and maybe just a broader discussion about insight in the spiritual life in general.
I think we need that. I think we need that broad discussion about insight in the spiritual life. And in a way, direct pointing is just to do bring one's attention to the main matter in a way, which is to do with anatta. It's just about that. And the different ways that can come about through, for example, ethical practice. Just realise that your behaviour has, maybe you haven't been very truthful, and then you're looking, why is that? It's because you have a very strong attachment to a particular view of yourself. All our spiritual practice is in a way drawing attention to that, but the direct pointing is doing that in a very, very clear way, in a way that can't be avoided in a way.
Mm.
I think we usually avoid this issue because it's a difficult one. But there's also a tremendous relief in seeing the truth, you could say.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, great, thanks. Yeah. And yeah, so we discussed it in small groups. Yeah. You and I were in different small groups. So, and then we heard back from each of them. But I was quite struck by, although there is a diversity of opinions and responses to, well, not only to direct point, but in a way to methods of practice, to insight in general, to the whole questions that come up around all that. I was quite struck that all groups, when they reported back, seemed quite similar.
Yeah. Well, they all thought we need to accept that you know, this can be part of our approach.
Yeah. My sort of what I came away from that group with was thinking, well, you know, there's not a single college voice or view, but there is a consensus that it's worth those of us who want to engage with it and involve ourselves in it doing that, going ahead with that. And I know there's more to come and there's more discussion about what that looks like and who and how and exactly sort of how to follow it through. But it seemed to me very, very positive kind of discussion together.
Yeah. It's awesome. I think it's very, very encouraging. I think in a way we need to we need to be very pleased that this has happened and to think of this as an opportunity.
I was also the small group I was in. I was also quite interested that sometimes somebody would kind of say something like, "Oh well, you know, I think you're more likely to get insight through, so you know, like a study group or a."
I don't know,
a communal living or something. And then just sort of talking about it in a way, actually, we were kind of all laughed at the same thing. You know, we went to find ways of being less self-clinging and ways of actually connecting and ways of finding practice that means that our going for refuge deepens and, we come into relationship through that.
I think somehow we need to understand how this is a central thing. You know that insight into anatta is part of the going for refuge. It's part of what we're going for refuge to. It's to insight. It's to some sort of realization.
Well, in the series of papers that we've had recently, certainly in a couple of in the last 5-6 years, I think in this the suprapersonal force. There's quite a strong statement that Subhuti with Bhante make, which is something like the central act of, I can't remember exactly how it is, I don't mean to misquote, but something like, well, that you know, our task as Buddhists is to find a way of working with self-clinging.
Yes, very good. That's
so,
very good, isn't it?
I think...
It's what Bhante called the real going for refuge.
The real going for refuge, yes. So I think if we hold that framework and real going for refuge, then anything that's helping different people to come into relationship with that and deepen with that, is to be welcomed.
Is to be welcomed, very much so,
And how does that then fit into how we live our lives, how we relate to each other, how we practice ethically, etc., etc.? So,
well, it fits in. Yeah. It fits in because you can see yourself clinging going on all the time, if you're at all mindful, if you're at all aware, it's just going on all the time, and it's giving you something to work with all the time.
So these interviews or whatever I've been doing in the evenings over the last few days, I've been kind of saying to people, well, what was the highlight of your day, or I've been saying that, you know, just tell us a little bit about the college. But I think what we've done tonight, Kamashi, is more that we've had a conversation two college members.
Yes.
Sitting on the sofa.
I like that.
And getting having a conversation. Yeah. So it's a slightly different kind of approach. And, you know, I guess what we've expressed is our own experience and our own understanding of what we've been talking about.
Well, I've tried,
yeah. Well, I was just thinking, I guess if I had some other people in the sofa, they might put it slightly differently.
Sure.
But that's part of the... Yeah. It's part of the wonder of it, really, isn't it? Okay, that's great. Thanks very much. And... hope the rest of the colleges meeting is as stimulating. We've got some study coming up, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, that's a good time.
Yeah, apparently on the nature of consciousness.
Yeah.
So I'll be interviewing people about that sometime in the next few days. So I think tomorrow we've actually got the luxury of an afternoon off. So there might not be a podcast from the sofa tomorrow night. Okay, thank you very much.